Parshat Bechukotai opens with a glowing description of how amazing things will be if we listen to Hashem. How good things will be in the land of Israel, how there will be abundant prosperity, and there will be peace. Even a disturbance will not cross our land. In the second reading, Moshe Rabbeinu continues to speak to the Jewish people, telling them about the rewards and remuneration for our appropriate behavior. Chapter 26, verse 6, V'nasati shalom ba'aretz. God says, I will give peace in the land. And you know what peace means? U'shchavtem v'ein machrit. You will sleep at night. You will have no fear, no terror. I will remove, there will be a total cessation of wild animals or bad predatory animals from the land. A sword shall not pass your land. Rashi says that the meaning and importance of the way this reading opens, the way the reading begins, V'nasati shalom ba'aretz, can be understood in the following frame, in the following context. This is a continuation of the previous slew of blessings that Moshe Rabbeinu promises the Jewish people. You will walk in my statutes. My mitzvahs you will keep. You will have abundant and plentiful rainfall, and you will experience extraordinary prosperity. Okay. And V'nasati shalom. So in addition to this notion that you will have granaries filled with produce, and you'll have this idea of v'echaltem yoshon neishon, you'll still be eating last year's produce, you'll have no room to put the new produce. That's how good things will be. Shema toimru, let's just say, harei maichol v'harei mishte. There's lots of nourishment. We have much prosperity, food to eat. However, im ein shalom ein klum. But if you have no peace, you have nothing. You can't enjoy the affluence that you're able to have, that you're benefiting from. Talmud Leimar. So the pasuk comes and teaches us. Achar kol zois. After describing in such rosy terms the amazing affluence that will punctuate life for us in the land of Israel, after this, God says, and the crowning achievement will be, V'nasati shalom ba'aretz, that I will give you peace in the land. From here we can derive, Mikan, shahasholim shakul keneged akol, that peace corresponds to everything. You can have great prosperity, you can have good health. If you have no peace, you have nothing. V'chein hu'emer, and similarly, the prophet Isaiah says, he speaks of God forming light and creating darkness. And then he says, Osa shalom, he makes peace, ubore ra, and creates bad. So what does that mean? If he creates peace, he makes peace and creates bad, that means there's yotzer or avore choshech. That's how the pasuk begins. What's the opposite? What's the polar opposite of light? Darkness. And what is the opposite of peace? Bad. Not war, bad. Bad. Eisa shalom averera. So now we know that peace is good. Now, Rashi does not comment on the business of hishbati chayerom in haaretz, that I will banish all the wild animals. And there's a very interesting dispute about this in the Medrash, if it means that the wild animals will be neutered or they simply won't be. The Arachayim says, v'hishbati means that they will be banished. They won't even be near you. Not even in a distant jungle or safari where, you know, you live in your municipal area and everything is safe and fine, but out there, it's a jungle. So he says it won't even be a jungle out there. That's how good things will be. V'cherev le'saveh be'artzechem, a sword shall not pass through your land. I mean, that's a given. If there's going to be peace, how would you have a sword pass through your land? A friendly sword? What is a friendly sword? So Rashi says that the meaning of a sword shall not pass through your land, the chevrele savar ba'artzachem, Ein sarach leimar shalei yaveyu limelchama. It's self-understood that there will be no army that passes through for the purposes of war. Elo, so what's being added here in the pasuk? Afilu laver derech artzachem imedina limedina. You will not see an army that begs passage through your land to do battle elsewhere. So it's not really disturbing your peace. Nobody's attacking you, but it's not comfortable. It's a disquieting feeling when you see an army marching through. You won't even see armed forces going through. As the Rebbe once put it, you won't even see UN peacekeeping forces. And you will pursue your enemies. And they will fall before your sword. So the question is, what is this pasuk talking about? Lifnechem b'chorev, Rashi says. What does it mean, before you by sword? So he says, before you by sword means ish b'cherev reyehu. It means the missiles will blow up in their launchers. It means that they will fall on their own swords. Our swords will not be necessary. We will have a robust army, but our swords will never have to be used, because in the end they'll fall on their own swords. They'll self-immolate and self-destroy. Now, of course, the obvious question here is, if there's going to be Shalom Va'aretz, so why do you have to say, Uredavtem Esaveichem? Who are you going to be pursuing? So the Sephardim says, there might be a battle outside of the land of Israel. And sometimes, in order to ensure that there's peace in the land, you take the battle elsewhere. Rightly or wrongly, I don't know, but the United States maintained that it was fighting in Iraqi and Afghani soil, so it didn't have to fight on its soil. Maybe they're right, I don't know. The point would be that if there's conflict, if there is evil, then it has to be there. Don't wait till it comes to your doorstep. So that's the meaning of Rudaftim Esevechim. Our armed forces might have to go elsewhere to prevent it from even coming close. The Ur HaChaim says, the pasuk begins by promising Shalom Ba'aretz. And now it adds that even in the event that there will not be peace with our neighbors outside of our land, in our land is peaceful, but there's a problem outside. So even then, he says, whenever our armed forces will have to embark on a defensive mission, our enemies will fall before their own swords. Unkula says, their enemies will fall, and then we will slay them. We will not have to, so to speak, bring them down. They will fall, and then we will slay them. And how will this go? It will go, how will the chase go? Rodfu mikem chamisha. Five of you will pursue 100. Umeya mikem, and 100 of you will pursue Rivava, 10,000. V'naflu lefnechem, v'naflu aivechem lefnechem, your enemies will fall before you, lachorav on the sword. All right, so here we hear of many being routed by the few. And how exactly does this work? Rashi says, v'radfu mikem, they will flee from before you. So he says, mikem, from amongst you, doesn't mean your sayeret matkal, your special forces, your finest troops, your best soldiers. It means mikem minis min ha'achaloshim shebachem, even the weakest amongst you. V'loy min ha'gibayrim shebachem, not the mighty, not the mighty soldiers. Rashi emphasizes that mikem is from amongst you, because it says, doesn't say radfu chamisha meya, doesn't say five will be able to pursue 100. It says from you, or it doesn't say anche chayil mikem, it doesn't say your soldiers, the soldiers, the select. It says from you. So since it says from you, mikem, then that's an indication that it's even the weakest amongst you. Chamisha meya, 500. Umeya mikem revava, and then 110,000. So Rashi says, the actuarial numbers seem a little funny here. V'chi chochu acheshbin. Is that the calculation? How does that work? V'haloi, after all, if five pursue 100, lehoyot zarech leimar, then he should have said, ela umeya, shnei alofim yudefu. then 100 should have been able to route 2,000. So why does it say 5 will route 100 and 100 will route 10,000? The numbers don't line up. Elo, Rashi says, "Eni deimen mu'atin ha'isna sateira l'merubin ha'isna sateira." Very powerful statement here. You cannot compare small numbers who engage in Yiddishkeit to large numbers who engage in Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit. Talking here about soldiers. Talking here about a battle. Well, remember that the parsha begins in b'chukaisi teilechu. All of these wonderful promises come on a single account. And the single account is that spiritually, we're good. So we're involved in our Yiddishkeit. We're pursuing the mitzvahs. We're toiling in the Torah. God says, in that case, you'll be amazingly successful. So then the success we speak of in these verses follows the Yiddishkeit endeavor. Ah, says Rashi. So what the Torah is teaching us is, 5 people studying Torah, that's good. 100 people studying Torah? Wow. Forget about it. The numbers keep going up exponentially. The more you have, the more people come together to study Torah and pursue a path of Avodat Hashem in unison, the more there are, the stronger they will be. And that's the message that's being conveyed to us, where 5 can route 100, and 100 can route 10,000. V'naflu oyveichem v'goymer, your enemies will fall, she'ol neflim v'nechem sh'leike derech haaretz. Rashi says, the point here is being made that this will be in an unnatural way. There will be a miraculous kind of victory that will be granted to our armed forces in the way that they will fall. Now, with regard to the numbers, the funny numbers here. So we have what Rashi says. It's a difference of how many people are involved in Yiddishkeit that gives them added strength. Rabbeinu Bechaya says that 100 of you can route 10,000. And that's because that every 100 can, so to speak, take down 500. And he says this is a similar kind of cheshbon. He maintains that the cheshbon is not so far out. But what Rashi says sounds more reasonable. Now the Kli Yoker says like this. He says, in the beginning, 5 soldiers do not instill fear. 5 soldiers, that's not going to instill fear. So he says, 5 soldiers, that can make 100 flee. However, once our enemies are afraid, once there's a fright instilled, then the fright continues to grow exponentially. And as the fright continues to grow, 100 of our boys can rout 10,000 of the enemy. Now, if you know a little bit about what happened in 1967, there were enormous numbers, both in the Golan Heights, as well as along the Egyptian border, that fled from small groups of Israeli soldiers. And the Rebbe maintained that this is because of Mifsa Tfilin, because he started the idea of putting on Tfilin, and thousands of people put on Tfilin in the days leading up to the war. And it says very clearly that when we put on Tfilin, that our enemies will fear us. And they did. There was a Syrian general who was court-martialed, and he was thrown into prison. They couldn't understand why did they abandon their posts, leaving their boots behind to run faster. They ran in the sand, ran in the desert. Nobody could understand it. But this is a miraculous thing. And here, the Torah is telling us about this. As long as we do the will of Hashem, amazing things happen. Now, Rashi emphasized that it was chaloshim lachem, the weakest amongst you. So the Rebbe tells us that there is a very interesting, deep history that's being played out here. And he begins this with a simple question. The smallest number is 5. 5 soldiers. 5 will be able to route 100. 100 will be able to route 10,000. So the Rebbe says, how come we start with the number 5? Why not the number 1? And there are stories of 1. In fact, Hebron, the oldest Jewish settlement, which we had the deeds, we bought the properties, where our people were massacred just because they were Jewish in 1929. And the Jewish people had to leave Hebron. Hebron was recaptured by 2 soldiers, one of them being a rabbi, Rabbi Gorin, the chief rabbi of the IDF, and his attaché. They were so excited about going to Hebron They thought they slept in a jeep, just a rabbi and his driver, and Hebron, the Arabs surrendered. They put out white, they thought the whole army was there. They were so afraid of two Israeli soldiers. They didn't even realize the army was behind them. They thought they were coming late. They found out later the army didn't get there yet. It's a real story. So it happened in our day with two soldiers. And yet here the Torah speaks about five. So on page Tafches, the Rebbe asks exactly this question. Yesh lishel, madua peseach hakosov, why does the verse open here, beredifas al yedei chamisha anoshim, with a pursuit of five of our soldiers, v'loi beredifas shel yedei al yedei adam echad? Wouldn't that be a bigger chiddush? Wouldn't that be a bigger novelty to say that one can rout many? Unless you think, well, the scripture doesn't speak that way. Nah, yeah, you need a troop. You need a group. Well, guess what? In Parshas Hazinu, it actually does speak that way. Only the other way around. It says, Echa yirdif echad elef. How did one pursue 1,000? Vishnayim yonisu revava. And two were able to rout 10,000. Crazy numbers. Now over there in Parshas Hazinu is talking the other way. So when things go bad. But we know merubu midateva. So when things go good, it's even better. How did this happen? How is it and why is it that we emphasize the concept of five when in Parshas Hazinu, when we talk about numbers and statistics, we talk about one? V'yeshleimar, the Rebbe suggests that Rashi alludes to this very question. And that's why Rashi interprets the words v'rodfu mikem, that they pursue from amongst you. Rashi says min hachaloshim shebachem, from the weaker amongst you. The Mefarshim discussed this. What compelled Rashi to say this? Why did he have to say from the weaker? Why not from the regular troops? Why from the weaker? He uses the word min hachaloshim, from the weakest amongst you. He doesn't say not the finest troops. He doesn't say not the commandos. He doesn't say not the Green Berets, or as we call it in modern Hebrew, Sayeret Matkal. He doesn't say that. He says specifically Hachaloshim, the weakest. So the Rebbe suggests that here we see a deep history being played out. What's the deep history? When is the first time that the Jewish people are alluded to in militaristic terms? And don't tell me Abraham and Eliezer, because that was just one Jew. When is the first time the Jewish people are alluded to in militaristic terms?
Bilam?
No. I don't think so. Okay. So it's going to be before we're actually a nation, when we're still a family.
Amalek
is after we're a nation. You can't tell me it's Shimon and Levi, because Shimon and Levi was not a military operation. That was an operation of two brothers who came to rescue their sister and had no choice with the people who said, over our dead bodies, you're not taking your sister.
Is it parallel to the Hartumim that we should go against them? Because
well,
now
you're in the right location, the right geography. It's Pharaoh, but not Pharaoh to Hartumim.
Okay.
So what happens is that when Yosef's brothers come down to Mitzrayim, Yosef has to come with a formal delegation of brothers. He has to present before Pharaoh. So we read there, Omikze Echav Lakach. He took a small amount, some of his brothers. Didn't take all of his brothers. Took some of his brothers. How much did he take? It says, Chamisha Anoshim. He took five men. Vayetzigim lifnei farei, and he presented them before the Pharaoh. So Rashi explains, what's Miktsas Echav? So Miktsas means a smaller number, because if there are 12 brothers, so if Yosef would take half, it would be six. If you would take a majority, it would have to be seven. So it says Miktsas means five is a smaller number. Okay, so why was that necessary? Why five? Why not four? Why not take half? Why not take them all? What was Yosef doing here? There had to have been some kind of careful strategy where Yosef played the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh was a despotic, crazy man who thought he was God. So Yosef knew how to play him. He had to make sure that everything would go right. The Pharaoh would be happy. Money was coming in his coffers. His power was consolidated. Yosef did the work. Life is great. So Yosef has to bring his brothers now and ensure that there's going to be peace and quiet and serenity, and the Pharaoh doesn't decide to do anything crazy. So what's he going to do? So the Parsha says that he brought some of his brothers, and Rashi explains, Miktsas echav min hapchusim shebehem legvura, from those who were weakest amongst them. He took the least mighty. They're all mighty, it says. The Shvatim are all mighty. He took the least mighty. She'ein nidin gibeidin, the ones who didn't look strong. They were all strong. He took the ones who didn't look strong. And Rashi goes on and finishes, Haim, they are hachaloshim. They're the weak ones. Why did he take the weak ones? Because he wanted the Pharaoh, if you look over there in Parshas Vayigash, it says that Yosef didn't want the Pharaoh to take a look at his brothers and say, these guys are okay. I want them in my army. I know you're a person who's capable. I bet you they're capable too. Let's bring them on. Let's use them in our armed forces. And Yosef wasn't interested in his brothers being conscripted into the military, the Egyptian armed forces. He wanted them to live peacefully in Goshen. They could be in the Egyptian Ministry of Finance. He didn't want them in the armed forces. Find another way to contribute to Egypt. So he took a group, and he took a kvutza of five. And this is the first time we hear about the Jewish people being spoken of in militaristic terms. And the number five becomes associated with the weaker militaristically. Since it's already mentioned in one place in Torah, a group of five people, that these five people, and they represented the weaker ones, Anashim Chaloshim, Neket Akasav Misperzekan. So then five became associated with weakness militarily. So therefore we use the number five. If the Pasuk is speaking about the weakest amongst you, what's the most natural number to use for the weakest amongst you? The precedent has already been set, the die has been cast, the number is five. So the weakest amongst you will be able to rout numbers far greater than them. And this way we see Hashem's bracha that comes to us if we will only keep His Torah and His mitzvahs. And we also see how in Torah there's a deep history and nothing is in a vacuum. Since it started out that way, since the Avos, since the patriarch, since the Shvatim had the number of five, when they spoke of something that was militarily weaker, was the number five. So that's how it continues now in Parshas Bechukei. May our soldiers be strong. May tiny numbers rout huge amounts of the enemy. And may we indeed have peace in the land.